all across America and around the world. This is Veterans Radio.
This is Veterans Radio.
And now, your host for today's program, Dale Thronberry.
And welcome to Veterans Radio. My name is Dale Thronberry, and I want to welcome you to this Memorial Day weekend, 2021. Holy moly, time is flying around here. Today's program really is dedicated to our former partner, Gary Lilly. It was 10 years ago in August that Gary was killed by a drunk driver. And so what we're going to be playing today is his interview all about Arlington National Cemetery. And this is one of Gary's favorite interviews. It's from 2008 originally. And we've had to kind of cut it down and compress it and so on and so forth. It's going to be a very busy program today. We have a number of guests. We've got some music that we want to play and a couple of events that I want to mention to you. But first, I got to mention our sponsors. Veterans Radio would not exist without the support of our sponsors and of you, our listeners. So first of all, we have Legal Help for Veterans. They specialize in veteran disability claims. Give Legal Help for Veterans a call at 800-693-4800. The National Veterans Business Development Council, better known as NVBDC, they are the nation's leading third-party authority for certification of veteran-owned businesses. For more information, you can go to their website. That's nvbdc.org. The Eisenhower Center here in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and Jacksonville, Florida, they are an inpatient and outpatient facility that helps not only veterans, but first responders and athletes who are dealing with traumatic brain injuries, post-traumatic stress, so on and so forth. And we're going to have them on in a program later on in June to talk about some of the therapies that they're using out there. For more information, you can go to Eisenhower.com. VetBiz Central is veterans helping veterans, assisting veterans, active duty, guard, reserve members in the formation and expansion of their own businesses. Go to VetBizCentral.com for more information. And we've got the Lieutenant Colonel Charles S. Kettles VA Medical Center here in Ann Arbor as a sponsor. And finally, we have U.S. Wings, home of the finest flight jackets in the history of the world. For more information, you can go to their website, that's uswings.com, or give them a call at 800-650-0659. Speaking of U.S. Wings, you're going to have to stick around because this is the program where we give away their flight jacket this month. We're not doing our benefits program, obviously. So stick around toward the end of the program, and we will announce the winner of that Maverick Top Gun flight jacket. So, like I said, busy day, busy day. Joining us right now quickly on the line is a follow-up to a program we did a couple of weeks ago called Carry the Load. And joining me on the line right now is Haley Johnson. And Haley is the she's a board member. And let me give you a quick background. And as soon as I caught that word, a graduating top third in a class of West Point with honor, she became a combat Black Hawk assault helicopter pilot. Another rotor head. Awesome. She served one tour in Afghanistan, where she supported the Australian Special Forces. So there's a lot of activity going on with Carry the Load. So Haley, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Hi, Dale. Thank you so much for having me on. This is exciting.
Thank you. It's exciting for me, too. I love talking to helicopter pilots.
I'm biased, but I followed in my mom's footsteps, who was actually a Huey pilot back in the day.
Oh, my. So was I. That's what I did. So that's why I get so excited when I have helicopter pilots on. So tell us what Carry the Load is up to today. Well, yeah, today and tomorrow. It's a really busy day for you folks.
Yeah, so actually, Carry the Load, if you guys don't know, it's a military nonprofit that initially started to restore the true meaning of Memorial Day back in 2011. This year is our 10-year anniversary, and our mission has changed to really honor our nation's heroes 365 days a year, military, police, firefighters, and our first responders and their families. And we're calling this year a decade of honor. And a big campaign that we do annually is our Memorial May, where we have four national relays that travel throughout the month of May and wrap up in Dallas. And what kicked off today is the Dallas Memorial March. It's a 24-hour march along the Katy Trail, and it's amazing. If you guys are in the area, I urge you to go on by. Get out there, walk in honor of somebody, share your story. All the funds that are raised go towards our nonprofit partners who really provide healing services for the mind, body, and soul of our veterans and first responders and all those that sacrifice for us on a daily basis. And really, it's a time to honor those that have paid the ultimate sacrifice and are no longer with us today.
All right. Absolutely. Well, we're not in Dallas, unfortunately, but for more information, where would people go to find out about Carry the Load?
They go to carrytheload.org. And a wonderful thing about Carry the Load is that it's an in-person event, but it's also a virtual event. I'm not in Dallas this weekend either, but I'm going to be up in Long Island where I'm currently located now and out marching tomorrow in honor of three amazing veterans that I know that are no longer here today and sharing their story across social media as well.
I think that's great. And Haley Johnson, I want to thank you very much for taking time out of your Memorial Day weekend to stop by here on Veterans Radio and keep us up to date with what Carry the Load is up to and what they are doing. And I hope we have you back because I'd love to talk to you more about flying helicopters.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having us on.
Thank you very much. All right. That was Carry the Load. Just wanted to remind everybody out there, especially here in southeastern Michigan and across the country as well, that there are many, many memorial services going on this weekend. And I would urge you to go out and attend one or two of those if you can. I know here locally there is a program this evening. Actually, it starts at 6 o'clock and it's called Watchfire. And what the Watchfire does is this is where they dispose of American flags that have been tattered and torn and have outlived their usefulness, I guess you could say. And this is going to be held out at the Vietnam Veterans Memorial on South Huron River Drive over in Ypsilanti beginning at 6 o'clock. I've done this a number of years. It's really an emotional time because what they do is they have all of the flags that they have collected, all the American legions that collect these outdated flags. And each person goes up to the fire pit, holds a flag up and dedicates it to a veteran, either a family member or someone else. And it's just a very emotional evening, especially when it starts getting dark and the fires. It's powerful, trust me. So I would encourage you to do that. There's also going to be a ceremony there at the Vietnam Veterans Memorial tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Check all of your newspapers around the area, wherever you happen to be. And we encourage you to go out and honor these men and women who really did pay that ultimate price so that we can still be here, that we can still go out and we can actually have family gatherings and we can have picnics and so on and so forth. So we're going to go right into taking a break right now. When we come out of this break, you're going to hear the song Arlington. And after a brief playing a portion of that, you're going to hear Gary Lilly's interview with the founder of a website called ArlingtonCemetery.com. It's not the official military website. This is a gentleman who just does it because he loves to do this stuff. So stay tuned. We will be back in a little while. You're listening to Veterans Radio. We'll be back.
If you have a VA claim denied by the Board of Veterans Appeals, contact Legal Help for Veterans at 1-800-693-4800. They're experts in handling cases before the U.S. Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims. Their number again, 1-800-693-4800.
Never thought that this is where I'd settle down. I thought I'd die an old man back in my hometown. They gave me this plot of land, me and some other men, for a job well done. There's a big white house, it's on a hill just up the road. The man inside, he cried the day they brought me home. They folded up a flag and told my mom and dad, "We're proud of your son." And I'm proud to be on this peaceful piece of property. I'm on sacred ground and I'm in the best company. I'm thankful for those, thankful for the things I've done. I can rest in peace. I'm one of the chosen ones. I made it to Arlington.
Michael, welcome to Veterans Radio. Tell us who you are and what you do.
Well, good morning, Gary. Thanks for having me on this morning. And we hope that you guys are enjoying the Memorial Day weekend and hope that all of your listeners are celebrating Memorial Day as it should be, remembering those who've come before us and who've served. But again, as you mentioned, my name is Michael Patterson. I'm the webmaster and originator of the Arlington National Cemetery website, which is my own personal website. It doesn't belong to the government or to the Army. I do it as a gift to America, if you will.
They have their own website, which is very, is it the identical name, only .org? Or
yeah, yes, it is,
Gary.
Tell
us what your website is before we get
ours is www.arlingtoncemetery.net and also arlingtoncemetery.com.
Michael, you started off with a very small website, correct?
Well, I did, Gary. Back in 1996, we started off with a very humble, very small 10-page website.
And how large is it now?
It's now running about 35,000 pages.
I don't think I could go through it in my lifetime. I don't know how you found time to do it. But tell us, you got interested in it because your dad was in the military. You're now retired, so he was in World War II, Korea, and the start of Vietnam. Is that correct?
Yes, he was. And he retired in 1965. He was a lifetime military officer. And through that, you know, I gained a lot of interest in military history and American history for sure. And, you know, because of his affiliation with the military, we had been down in the D.C. area a number of times. And, of course, you know, when you visit Washington, D.C., you know, the metro area, Arlington National Cemetery is certainly a place that one needs to visit.
That's such a solemn spot. And every time I walk through there, it just hits me. I look at these tombstones and I think, the stories here, the stories that have never been told. It's sacred to me. How large is Arlington?
Arlington Cemetery right now is 660 acres. The good news is that there's been some additional property ceded to Arlington from adjoining military organizations. So we'll be adding about 80 acres to the cemetery, which will keep it alive certainly beyond 2060. Is an active cemetery.
And how many are buried there?
Well, right now there's pushing around 300,000.
How much more room will they have? How many more can it take?
Well, again, at the present burial rate, which is around between 27 and 30 a day, they'll be able to continue right up until 2060. It's estimated at this point.
Who qualifies to be buried there?
Well, it's the criteria there has become very restricted following President Kennedy being buried there. Arlington became a very popular burial site, as you could imagine. So Congress passed some very severe restrictions following that time. Right now, anyone who dies on active duty, of course, is eligible. Retired military who are receiving retirement pay from the military are eligible, and certain other persons who receive certain military honors. Of course, Medal of Honor recipients, Silver Star recipients, and of course, Purple Heart recipients are immediately eligible. But there are all sorts of other criteria. We do have that on the website. It goes on and on for several pages because there are some exceptions, of course.
So if somebody wants to know whether or not they or a loved one qualifies, they can go to your website.
Absolutely, they can.
Okay, terrific. What a service. How did Arlington get started and when?
Well, it was a very interesting story. It actually, Arlington, as you probably know, was in the family of Robert E. Lee, who became the Confederate general. But in 1862, after the Civil War had started, the United States Congress passed a tax act against the states that were in rebellion, the southern states. And if those taxes weren't paid, certain properties were seized, and one of those was the Arlington estate. And they filed suit against the Arlington estate in the amount of $92.07 in taxes plus penalties. And, of course, General Lee could not pass over the line to pay the taxes, so the United States government seized the property in 1862 for what they categorized as war, military, charitable, and educational purposes. And it didn't become a cemetery until 1864, when Brigadier General Montgomery Meigs, who was the Quartermaster General of the Union Army at that time, and who was a person who harbored a strong jealousy for Robert E. Lee for turning against the Union and joining the Confederacy, recommended to President Lincoln that they establish a cemetery on the grounds, you know, principally to provide additional burial space, but secondarily to prevent General Lee or his family from ever living in the estate again. And actually, before the cemetery was actually established in June 1864, on May 13th, 1864, the first burial took place, who was a Private William Chrisman from a Pennsylvania infantry regiment who had died in a Washington hospital.
That's amazing to me that you would know, or that history would know, the very first person to be buried at Arlington. I'd have never guessed we would know that. And were the Union soldiers buried close to the mansion, did I understand?
Yes, they were. They were buried in what was Mrs. Lee's Rose Garden, right near the mansion. And Meigs, General Meigs, who we mentioned before, actually personally supervised it because he wanted them buried so close to the mansion that it would never become a private home again.
True. Tell us the connection or the history of Mrs. Lee.
Well, Mrs. Lee actually owned the property. It wasn't actually General Lee's property. Her father, George Washington Park Custis, was the adopted son of George Washington, which many people don't know. When he died, the property went to Mrs. Lee, and she and raised her family there for many, many years while her husband was in the United States Army serving out west. He came back to the property at some point in time after George Washington Park Custis died, and he's actually buried with his wife on the property. So they were actually the first burials, although they were civilians. They were buried on the estate well before it was a cemetery. And
now the mansion is still there.
Yes, it is. It's called Arlington House, or it's sometimes called the Custis Lee Mansion.
And what do you see when you're standing there, and what is the house used for now?
It's used now as it's now called the Robert E. Lee National Memorial, and it's been restored to the way it looked in the 1860s. It has much of the original furniture in it, and it's a very beautiful home.
And when you stand on the porch, you look out over.
Well, immediately if you look out, you can look down, and right down the hill from that is the John F. Kennedy burial site, the Robert F. Kennedy burial site, and right in the front yard is where General Phil Sheridan from the Civil War is buried.
And then you look out and you see the graves, and then in the distance you see the Potomac.
See the Potomac, and you can see Washington, D.C. off in the distance.
And off to the right would be the Pentagon.
Yes, absolutely. And you can see the U.S. Capitol. You can see the Washington Monument. It's just an absolutely beautiful sight.
It's stunning. I've been there and I've wandered around. When you wander around, you see a lot of monuments. You see a lot of plaques of dedication. Can you tell us about that and tell us who qualifies to be able to put a plaque there?
Well, many, many very groups, military groups principally, obviously, of course, have applied to Arlington and over the years to have plaques placed in memory of their groups. There were very groups such as the Navy Seabees, of course, have a monument right outside the gates of Arlington on Memorial Drive.
One that I'm near and dear to my heart.
I knew it would be. Large. That's why I wanted to mention that, Gary, because I know that that's very close to you. But again, there are literally hundreds, if I wouldn't say thousands, but there are many hundred memorials that have been placed by various military and veterans groups throughout the cemetery. And they're anything from trees with plaques below them to very large memorials. There's going back into the late 1890s, early 1900s, there's the Spanish-American War Memorial. There's the Rough Riders Memorial. And then, of course, the largest one in the cemetery is the USS Maine Memorial, which was established, you know, from the USS Maine being sunk in Havana Harbor, which started the Spanish-American War. And in the early 1900s, the mast of the USS Maine was brought to Arlington and placed above the graves of many of the sailors that were lost above on the USS Maine.
Do I remember hearing something about the remains of people being in that mast, or is it another monument that I'm thinking
No,
of?
You're absolutely correct. Over the years, Manuel Cusan, who was the president of the Philippines during World War II, was in exile in Washington and died in Washington. And his body was kept in the base of the USS Maine until the war was over, and eventually his body was returned to the Philippines. Another interesting thing is Ignace Jan Paderewski, the president of Poland, at the beginning of World War II, died in the United States in 1941, and he laid in state in the base of the USS Maine until the administration of the first President Bush, when his body was finally returned to Poland once Poland was declared free again.
That was something that caught me by surprise, is that there are different people from different nationalities. The person that you mentioned, that is not the same person that there's a statue in Detroit. I think the person in Detroit was a Revolutionary War general. Is that correct?
Yes, but he was not in Arlington.
Okay.
But, you know, once you've mentioned it, there are just numbers of foreign persons who are buried in Arlington. It sometimes surprises a lot of folks. The most recent one, of course, was an Iraqi Air Force captain who was killed on a mission with several American military people. And their remains could not be individually identified because they were killed in a plane crash. He is buried in Section 60, where most of the casualties from Iraq are buried. And his name is Ali Hassam Abbas Arubai, and he was, again, an Iraqi Air Force captain.
In fact, there's a number of graves, are there not, where there are more than one person because of the way the casualty took place? There was no separating them? Is that correct?
Absolutely. There are very many group burials at Arlington. And again, most of them, or a lot of them, result from World War II. And they're still finding, you know, remains of World War II casualties, mostly from aircraft accidents and shootdowns, a lot of them from New Guinea, you know, as late as just this year, where they're finding aircrew remains, and they're burying them as a group burial in Arlington.
Who's getting buried the most right now? Is it veterans or is it active duty?
Well, right now it's veterans, for sure, because we're losing so many of our World War II veterans, and they certainly were, as Tom Brokaw wrote in his book, The Greatest Generation, and we're losing them at an alarming rate. That will, I think, continue to be the case because of the way we're losing them, and they're aging out on us, and we're losing so many of them that if you look at the roster of the funerals taking place every day, that's we're losing the veterans.
As a matter of fact, it surprises many people to know that per capita, Vietnam vets are dying at just about the double the rate per capita as World War II vets.
Yes, they are, and obviously at a much younger age.
Right. I keep looking at the clock, the calendar every day and checking my time.
Don't do that, Gary. We need you to continue on with this fine program.
Keeps me going, believe it or not. Any rate, you get a lot of visitors. How many visitors a year do you get at Arlington?
About 4 million people a year visit through there, and it's one of it's the most visited cemetery in America, probably in the world. And you know, when you've been down there a number of times, right. And I'm there quite frequently, and it varies from school groups to veterans groups to. I was just down there 2 weeks ago, they had police officers from all over the country that were in for the Police Officers Memorial, which is held in Washington, D.C. annually. And they were just thousands of police officers in the district. And most of those groups came to Arlington, and they were all in their uniforms, and they had all come to the the Tomb of the Unknowns to witness the changing of the guard by the 3rd Infantry Division, which is the old guard.
And when we come back, we're going to be, in the third segment, we're going to be talking about the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. And in the next segment, I want you to take us through a funeral and what how it takes place there at Arlington Cemetery. We're talking to Michael Patterson on Veterans Radio. Michael Patterson maintains his own private website on Arlington National Cemetery, and it's arlingtoncemetery.net and arlingtoncemetery.com. The time is roaring past. We're going into our first break. We'll be right back on Veterans Radio.
The Medal of Honor is the highest award for valor in combat given a member of the Armed Forces of the United States. There have been over 3,400 recipients of the nation's highest award. This is one of them.
Hospital apprentice Fred McGuire, after emptying his rifle, used it as a club. Details after this. While attached to the USS Pampang, McGuire was one of a shore party moving in to capture Mundang, Philippine Islands, on the morning of 24 September 1911. Ordered to take station within 100 yards of a group of huts close to the trail, McGuire advanced and stood guard as the leader and his scout party first searched the surrounding deep grasses, then moved into the open area before the huts. Instantly, the enemy opened point-blank fire on the exposed men, and approximately 20 enemy charged the small group from inside the huts and from other concealed positions. McGuire, responding to the calls for help, was one of the first on the scene. After emptying his rifle into the attackers, he closed in with his rifle, using it as a club to wage fierce battle until his comrades arrived on the field, when he rallied to the aid of his dying leader and other wounded. Although himself wounded, McGuire ministered tirelessly and efficiently to those who had been struck down, thereby saving the lives of two who otherwise might have succumbed to enemy-inflicted wounds.
The Medal of Honor series is a production of Veterans Radio.
We're with Michael Patterson on... you know what? I got a little scattered there because I'm looking at my notes, and I wanted to have you take me through a funeral that takes place. And I'm looking at the names James Linton Heward, who is someone I knew from Dearborn, Michigan, back in the teenage days prior to the service. James Linton Heward was an F-4 pilot who went down on July 12, 1972, up in the north, and then his remains were found and returned, and he was buried in 1997. Very, very emotional day, and I was thinking about that, and I was getting a little bit emotional about it again. Michael Patterson, take us through the burial at one of those at Arlington Cemetery, and I'm going to let you talk till I get my thoughts together.
That's okay, Gary. I can understand. You know, when you attend a funeral at Arlington Cemetery, it's unlike anything that you'll ever experience. There are two types of funeral services that take place there. The most common one is called Standard Military Honors, and that's available to any enlisted service member or any officer. And that consists of a six-man body bearer detail, a firing party which fires a three-rifle volley, and that's sometimes confused with a 21-gun salute, which it's not. There's a bugler to play taps, and then there's, of course, a chaplain from the deceased military service. The body bearers carry the flag-draped casket to the grave, hold the flag over the casket while the chaplain says some appropriate words, and then following the committal service, the firing party is called to attention, fires the three-rifle volley, and then the bugler plays taps, which, to my mind, is just always just awesome. It just makes the hair stand up on your back of your neck. The body bearers fold the flag, and then that's presented to the next of kin by the officer that's conducting the services. Now, on the other hand, Arlington's the only cemetery in the world that offers on a regular basis a full military honors funeral, available at the family's request to officers and warrant officers. Now, a full honors service consists of a procession to the gravesite with a horse-drawn caisson, a marching band, a marching escort of troops, a four-man color guard. The chaplain joins the procession as well in front of the caisson and behind the escort band and color guard. Once at the gravesite, the service is pretty much identical to the standard services, with the exception that the band plays while the casket is taken to the grave and the flag's being folded. It's just an absolutely breathtaking and emotional and absolutely symbolic farewell to an American fighting man. The interesting thing that happens at Arlington as well, and people of our era may remember this from John F. Kennedy's funeral, is the riderless horse. And that is for officers who are a colonel or above, where the riderless horse follows the caisson. And that's it's called the Capron horse. And it's a horse with no rider, of course. And the boots are reversed in the stirrups, you know, which means that the rider will no longer ride his horse. And when you see that happen at Arlington, it absolutely takes your breath away.
That was the funeral type of funeral they had for Jim Huard.
Absolutely.
When I'm the Vietnam Veterans of America Chapter 310 representative at the Vietnam Veterans of America Michigan State Council, where we get the committee reports, one of them always being the POW-MIA report. And it hit me like a bolt of lightning. I was taking the notes when the man was giving his report, and he said the remains of James Linton Huard from Dearborn, Michigan, have been returned, and my head snapped back to I know, and my eyes filled with tears, and I was continued to take the notes, although I had a hard time seeing the paper, and tears were dropping on the paper. And then the funeral took place at Arlington. A good friend and I drove out there, and there's first the chapel where they have the service, and Jim's sons were there. And one of them was played on the little baby grand piano inside the chapel. And what I remember is he played How Great Thou Art. And it was so stirring, the way he played it. I'd never heard it like that before, and the hair stands up just thinking about it. And when they carried Jim out and put him on the caisson and riderless horse and then the band and the color guard, one of them carrying the MIA flag. There were a lot of Vietnam vets from Dearborn, Michigan, went out there, my friend and I amongst them. And as we walked, I don't know if it was a half mile or three quarters of a mile, winding through the cemetery, gradually the Vietnam vets stopped talking. They were in a group, fell into columns of two, fell into step, and then silently marched. And I just looked around and I said to my friend, I am so proud to be a part of this small band of brothers, this small elite group. And as we walked looking at these rows of crosses, it was very emotional. Later on, they had at the cemetery, at the gravesite itself, the Air Force flew the missing man formation. The four planes come flying over and one peels off before it hits the Arlington. And so only the three fly over in the missing man formation. Is the missing man formation something that you see very often there?
Yes, you do, because, you know, most of the Marine aviators, Naval aviators, Air Force aviators, who were combat aviators, their families request that quite frequently. And it is absolutely, Gary, a stirring, stirring thing to see. And it's played out so well, because you can imagine that it has to happen with such technical preciseness the way it happens during the course of the funeral, but it just absolutely takes your breath away.
And for the 4 million visitors that are visiting when that type of a funeral takes place, it's worth the admission. And there's no price of admission. This is a free visit, is it not?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, this cemetery belongs to the American people, as does my website. I mean, this is an American tradition. This is a national cemetery. It belongs to you. It belongs to me. It belongs to all of those 4 million people who come and visit, and it belongs to the millions of people who come and visit it on the website every year.
I can't recommend your website enough. There is so much in there, historical photographs, everything from the how do I do it, who qualifies, to the stories of the people, and it's just amazing. I spent hours browsing through it, getting ready for the show. And speaking of that, this segment is almost over. You're listening to Michael Patterson, who has the most astounding website on Arlington National Cemetery. We'll give that address again coming out of this next break. In the next break, Michael, we're going to be talking about the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, the Old Guard, and I'd like you to give us some of the history of that wreath laying. I was honored to lay a wreath one Memorial Day. We're with Michael Patterson talking about the Arlington National Cemetery. He's got the fabulous website on it. We'll repeat it again later. Right now, I'd like to have you tell us about the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, the Old Guard, the changing of the guard. Give us a bit of a history on that, if you would, please.
I'd be glad to, Gary. Well, you know, the Tomb of the Unknowns is the second most visited place in Arlington National Cemetery. Most of the visitors who come go immediately to John F. Kennedy's gravesite, but the place to me, the center point of the cemetery, is the Tomb of the Unknowns. It was established in 1921 when a unknown from World War One was selected and interred, you know, right behind the Memorial Amphitheater at Arlington. In 1958, he was joined by unknowns from World War II and Korea. And then in 1998, there was a Vietnam unknown chosen. And I mentioned that because I know that that's near and dear to your heart. And eventually, the Vietnam unknown was identified and removed from the tomb. And that was Air Force First Lieutenant Michael Joseph Blassie. And they were able to identify him through mitochondrial DNA. And at his family's request, he was removed, and he was brought home to Jefferson Barracks National Cemetery near his home in Missouri. And he was certainly an American hero as well. But, you know, he was brought back to his home. But the Tomb of the Unknowns has been guarded 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, by the 3rd United States Infantry, who is commonly referred to as the Old Guard. They earned that name in the Mexican War back in the 1800s by the way that they participated in that war. And they are the oldest continuous military organization in the United States Army. And they are the only military unit that's authorized to have bayonets on their rifles at all times. But these are guys who are specially trained, obviously. They are the honor guard of the United States Army.
How are they selected?
They are selected on military bearing, on intelligence, on dedication to duty. There's height and weight restrictions. They have to have a 28-inch waist, for instance, which I haven't seen since I think I was 10 years old. But these guys are out there 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, in rain, in snow, in horrible weather, in heat.
I understand that during a storm a few years ago, a blizzard that was so bad, they were authorized to not do their guarding and turned it down, and they stayed out there anyway?
Yes, they do. If you've been there, Gary, and I know you have,
I have.
There's a little booth off to the side.
Right.
And when the snow piles up, they will retreat to that booth and stay at attention while the area that they march on is cleaned, and then they resume their march. They are the most dedicated, wonderful young men and women. There have been 3 tomb guards who are females that you'll ever know. And as far as the tomb itself, it's having some issues right now because of some cracks that have formed. And there are discussions underway whether the tomb should be replaced, at least the cap, the top of it that we're all familiar with,
right,
or whether it should be repaired. And there have been issues over the years where it has been attempted to repair it.
I'm glad they're not just jumping into it and doing something that they're...
I'm glad they're not either. Congress has stuck their hand into it and said, listen, let's you know, sit back and let's research this a little bit.
Well,
but I think there's a couple of very poignant things about the tomb, and one is the inscription which sits on the front of it, which I think is pretty familiar to all of our veterans friends out there, and it says merely, here rests an honored, glory, an American soldier known but to God, and that is the truth. I mean, this is simply an American soldier, and, you know, whether, like yourself, if you're a CB or you're a sailor or a Marine or a Coast Guardsman or an airman, you know, to be called an American soldier is certainly something that you can be proud of.
Oh.
And if I could, just for a second, I'd like to read to you the Sentinel's Creed, if I could.
Please do.
And it says, my dedication to this sacred duty is total and wholehearted. In the responsibility bestowed on me, never will I falter. With the dignity and perseverance, my standard will remain perfection. Through the years of diligence and praise and the discomfort of the elements, I will walk my tour in humble reverence to the best of my ability. It is he who commands the respect I protect, his bravery that made us so proud. Surrounded by well-meaning crowds by day, alone in the thoughtful peace of night, this soldier will in honored glory rest under my eternal vigilance. And let me tell you what, these guys take that so seriously.
And this is an oath they all take.
They all take. And one of the most cherished awards that is an Army soldier you can earn is the Honor Guard badge. And, you know, you have to pass some very stringent requirements to earn that. And not even all of the old guard guys who guard the tomb earn that. And
you have to be outstanding amongst the outstanding.
You absolutely have to be. And once you earn that, you can wear that on your uniform no matter where you go or whatever assignment you go to after you've served at the tomb. It's very special.
If you folks out there have not seen the changing of the guard at Arlington National Cemetery, that's something that you must do before you leave this planet Earth. The people there, you look at these young people and you say, this country is good. This country is good. I don't care what anybody says.
Well, if I could throw sort of a semi-political thing in, you know, from what Michelle Obama said, how could you look at that and not be proud to be an American?
Impossible.
Impossible indeed.
And so the when it comes to laying the wreath, who is qualified to lay the wreath? We've got, just a little over a minute left.
Well, you know, obviously any military group, veterans groups, on the website I have a link where you can get information on that. You can write in on your group's letterhead and, you know, request a date. But, you know, you should request a couple of dates because, you know, it is quite a popular thing. But you'll send them to the cemetery. There's people who handle requests and do the scheduling.
And that's on your website, correct?
It absolutely is. There's a link right to it on the front page.
And as I mentioned earlier, that my Vietnam Veterans of America chapter, one of the members wrote in, requested that. And as the president that year, I had the honor of laying the wreath. Now, we've come to the end of the show, Michael. I can't believe it.
And I can't either, Gary. It's been really a pleasure.
Thank you so much for being on. We want to thank you for listening in on Veterans Radio.
Are you a veteran or a military spouse interested in starting or growing an existing business? Then you want to connect with VetBiz Central, Michigan's only veteran business resource center, providing free one-on-one business counseling services, including research plans and preparing veterans to be lender ready. If you're in business, VetBiz Central offers comprehensive strategic marketing strategies to help you connect to corporations. They are one of 20 centers nationwide devoted to veteran business development through the U.S. Small Business Administration Office of Veteran Business Development. Vets helping vets. Visit their website at VetBizCentral.org or call 810-767-VETS.
Military veterans touch everyone's life. I'm guessing right now you're thinking of a veteran, a close friend, relative. Maybe it's you. Even the toughest of us sometimes need help but don't know where to turn for support. You don't need special training to help a veteran in your life. Even small actions can make a world of difference. If you know a veteran in crisis, please call the Veterans Crisis Line, 800-273-8255. 800-273-8255. A message from the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs.
Don Michaels is on that wall. Hurley Boy, Dave Lynch,
Harlan Reed, Billy Thompson.
There's a lot of names that I can't recall. I never knew. Over everybody had nicknames. Oki, Doc, Soul Doc, Booty. You hardly ever know somebody's real name. One guy got blown away on his first day. I didn't even have a chance to meet him. You read faces, but you lied.
Donovan, Blake, Kuresh, Shell Valley, Doc Toe, K-Sound.
Faces. It's hard to remember
who are the names
That was Michael J. Martin, whose name wore the names on the wall. And I played that because it was Gary's favorite Vietnam veteran troubadour. As I mentioned before, the interview was done back in 2008, and Gary passed away in August of 2011. A true veteran's veteran. A couple of things that are going on around the area, and we're going to take the little interview that we did. Is we asked everybody around across the country to kind of send us what is going on for their Memorial Day celebration. And so the one that we chose is from Troy, Pennsylvania, no less. And his name is Mike Powers, and Mike is a Navy veteran. So we're going to got that all logged up and ready to go. So here we go. Mike Powers.
Hello, everyone. My name is Mike Powers, and I am, first of all, a Navy veteran. And secondly, I thank Dale for allowing me to do this for this upcoming Memorial Day. And you know what? The first thing I'm going to say, I'm very much involved with our American Legion here in Troy, Pennsylvania. And let me talk a little bit about our community. We are located in North Central Pennsylvania. Our community is approximately around 3,200 people. We're about right below the Elmira, New York area, upstate New York, and about an hour north of Williamsport, Pennsylvania, which some of us right know is the home of Little League, okay, the World Series and so on. And I just have the opportunity that I'd like to share with you is to remembrance the honor and sacrifices of those who answered our nation's call and who have willingly laid down their lives for our freedom. Here in Troy, Pennsylvania, each year we do have a Memorial Day ceremony, and we have a parade. And of course, with the COVID advent and everything that we're trying to recuperate from, I must tell you about our community and the cooperation. And just so humbled by the contributions and the cooperation of our community for this Memorial Day. First off, also not only being post commander of our Legion, I'm the president of the American Legion Riders and our Vietnam Veterans Chapter. And of course, we have our motorcycles that lead off the parade here in our town. We also have the Boy Scouts, and they do a tremendous job participating in the parade. And as we go down the street, we help remembering veterans who have passed, along with the reminding of the parade goers of our flag respect and the education and etiquette of the flag. Our local high school band will provide the national anthem during our ceremonies. And of course, after the ceremonies and guest speakers with distinguished guests and Gold Star families that we recognize in our community, we then turn things over to our Legion and VFW members for the Color Guard and, of course, the firing squad as we pay homage to the ones who gave us the ultimate sacrifice, of course, on this Memorial Day. We also have the auxiliary who is involved with our parade and ceremonies, and they carry a huge American flag through town. And then we have what we call step off the curb, and we just allow anybody and everybody who is in our community to join in and show our respect and our remembrance of those. So the Troy American Legion, the VFW, as we march and we remember our fellow veterans and ones who went into combat and lost their lives and gave the ultimate sacrifice, so you and I can live in freedom in the greatest country in this planet. And I thank God for them, and I will never, ever forget them. I know people listening right now, Dale, somewhere, friends, relatives, someone in your family, you know someone who was in the service and gave their life for us. I thank you for this opportunity. God bless you, and God bless the United States of America.
Wow. Thank you, Mike. That was wonderful. And that's just an example of small town America. And these parades and activities are going on all across the country, today and tomorrow. So please get out there and do just like Mike said, step off the curb. You know, sometimes we have to say that, you know, we can't honor all of our veterans, especially those that have passed away. And you're going to see a lot of tears in a lot of men and women's eyes, tomorrow if they go to these memorials services. And so, offer them a hug if you can, wherever you are, if your state allows you to do that. They just need to know that their loved ones are never, never, ever forgotten. Before I forget, though, I've got to announce our winner for our jacket from the U.S. Wings, the Maverick jacket from the Top Gun 2 movie. And the winner this week is Steve Banks. And Steve is a United States Marine from Sun City, Arizona. And he served in the Marine Corps from 1997 to 2003. So congratulations to Steve Banks being the winner. We will be notifying you, get size and addresses and so on and so forth. Speaking of the Marines, how's this for a segue, right? The Marines are coming. The Marines are coming, and they are coming to Novi, Michigan, and they are going to be there on Tuesday. That's June 1st. I'm getting ahead of myself here. June 1st, and joining me on the line right now is Niles Lee. And Niles, United States Marine Corps, he's member of the Marine Corps Silent Drill Platoon. Niles, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Hi, thank you for having me, sir. I'm Sergeant Lee. Actually, talking about this would be our CO, Major V. He's actually also on the line as well.
Oh, okay. Major Vetito, is that correct?
Hi, Dale. Yes, how are you?
I am fine. Thank you very much for telling us. Tell us, we have a limited amount of time as we come up toward the top of the hour. Tell us what the Marine Corps Silent Drill Platoon is all about.
Well, the Marine Corps Silent Drill Platoon, they are at our oldest post in the Marine Corps Barracks, Washington, right there at 8th and I Street intersection in our nation's capital. And they are the elite performing platoon in the entire Marine Corps, and obviously we would argue the Department of Defense. They're coming to Novi. They're flying out from Washington, D.C. on Memorial Day to perform their pristine performance in front of the Michiganders. We're also going to have some future Marines there who are going to swear in a public oath of enlistment, and they want to stand in the ranks of United States Marines one day. It's going to be a heck of an event.
Wow, I was watching some of the programs or performances that you've done on YouTube, and I encourage people to go and look for more on the Marine Corps Silent Drill Platoon. This is amazing. If you can't make it in person on Tuesday at 6 p.m. at, looks like it's Fuerst Park in Novi, Michigan. It's F-U-E-R-S-T. It's right off of Grand River and, I believe 11 miles. So you should be able to locate that. It's just fascinating. I don't understand how can they do this without shouting at each other?
Training, training, training. That's exactly right. And that's the silent part of the silent drill platoon. They're hand chosen, hand selected based on their performance in the other companies at Marine Corps Barracks, Washington. And then they progress in the ranks and they practice for the parade season. And they're getting in one last performance here in Michigan before the parade season starts at Marine Corps Barracks, Washington, where they'll be doing at least two performances per week right there near Center House, where the Commandant lives in Washington, D.C.
Wow, and I'm reading a little sequence here, is that the 24-man platoon, hand-polished 10.5-pound M1 Garand rifles with fixed bayonets. And, folks, these guys are tossing these rifles around with bayonets on them, correct?
That is correct. It is an impressive performance. It's really hard to believe. You can see videos on YouTube, but that doesn't cut it. You've got to come in person. It's open to the public in Novi, Tuesday, 6 p.m., and it's really hard to describe. Dale, you're trying to describe it with the YouTube videos because it has some unique spinning and tossing techniques that aren't done anywhere else for drill, and it's unique to the Silent Drill Platoon.
Well, I am really excited. It's to see you on Tuesday. I have every intention of being there, and I want to thank you very much for being on Veterans Radio. Thank you for what you do to remind the American public of what the military does.
Well, thank you, Dale. Thank you for the opportunity, and happy Memorial Day to you tomorrow. Remember the fallen.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. All right. We've come up to the end of our program today. As I mentioned, we've announced our winner to Steve Banks, Marine Corps, for the jacket. I encourage people, again, as I said, tomorrow is a tough day for veterans, and it's a tough day for family members and Gold Star families especially. And so, we encourage you to go out. There aren't going to be as many parades as there normally are, but there will be some celebrations, some commemorations, and I would encourage you to go out and do that. The other thing is that we are going to end our program today on by playing Taps. And The version that we are playing is called Echo Taps, and it's done by the United States Coast Guard Band. And so we will be doing that in just a moment. But I have one more thing, if I have the time. I think I do. All right. So at the Great Lakes National Cemetery up in Holly, Michigan, as many people in our Southeast Michigan are familiar with, there will be no formal ceremonies on Memorial Day, but the cemetery is open for visitors to pay their respects from dawn to dusk on Monday, May 31st. No restrictions, no limit on the number of people and masks and so forth. So make sure that you do that. We will be back next week. Until then, have a safe Memorial Day. And remember the following. You are dismissed.